Welcome back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday Hollow Cult. So you know what that means. We're back to bring you some weirdness to get you through the work week. And for that, we are thankful that you have chosen us to do that. If you're new here, welcome. Welcome. Me and Kyle like to talk about a little bit of show stuff before we get to the crux of the episode. So if you're not into that, just want to fast forward to the 5 or 6 minute mark. And it's usually where we kind of dial in. If not, hang out and listen to us talk. If you're not new here, welcome back. Thanks for coming back this week. That being said, we got to get through some of the business. So check us out at all our socials, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Come over, be part of the community, join the cult. You know the drill. It's cool. It's a cool thing. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like to share with us, for us to share with the cult on a future episode of our listener experience show, Kyle's got some details.
I do. HollowSkyPodcast@gmail.com. Write your story out. Send it to that address. We'll get it. Putting it in Steve's patented filing system, which is the most efficient filing system on the planet, then it gets aired. That easy.
Simple.
We probably are going to have to start doing better on that.
Yeah, that's on us.
Anyways, but that's definitely on us.
You guys keep sending them in.
Yeah.
And we'll eventually find the time to get them out. So we apologize.
Yeah.
In advance. Yeah, what else was I going to say? Oh, you can also send those via voice memo if we want to hear it directly from your mouth. If you don't want to hear me talk the whole time, you can send a voice memo via your smartphone. Just throwing that out there. If you'd like to support the show, there's plenty of ways you can do it. We got a Patreon where you can sign up $7 a month. You get a bunch of Patreon exclusive content. You get all of our regular episodes ad-free. You get them early. You get Casket Breath Jams over there, the AI metal band from another realm. You get kind of a heads up when we got new merch drops. Sometimes you get merch coupons, all kinds of good stuff. Speaking of merch, hollowskypodcast.com. Head on over to the store. We got shirts. We got hats. We got beanies, stickers. Get you some stuff. Rep the cult. Be a cool kid. That's how it is.
Yeah, speaking of posters. Not this past weekend, but the weekend prior, maybe. I don't know. Time, as Steve says, is soup, and I forget. Anyways, local barber hooked me up with a free shirt the other day.
Nice.
Which is pretty sick. But it seems that maybe Gildan has upped their shirt game.
Ooh. Because
it's actually not a bad shirt. I was shocked.
Gildan used to be real crunchy.
Yeah, it's not bad. Like, it's a pretty solid shirt now.
Maybe
I'm kind of enjoying it. And I've got a wash down now, so it's washed. Didn't shrink a whole lot. Remember how they used to shrink like crazy? Yeah.
As a fat dude, I do know the struggle. Yeah.
No, it's actually a pretty solid shirt now. So that might be a future option. Nice. And maybe their hoodies aren't garbage to where we could get hoodies for a relatively decent price.
Yeah, we are looking at hoodies too.
Instead of $4,000 a hoodie. Just throwing that out.
Yeah, that's dope. So keep an eye on that. The merch store. We're kind of flirting with some new ideas. I know we talk about it a lot. Eventually we're going to pull the trigger on some new stuff. We'll let you know.
Yeah, we might eventually go through a secondary. That way merch is a lot more readily manageable. Available.
Yeah, we can get a lot more designs out there. And
yeah, we won't have to foot the bill for it all and right away, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, and Kyle and his wife do all the merch handling and shipping in-house. Yeah. So that would be a nice break from that. What else are we at? Another way you can support the show, share it word of mouth. Wherever you are, share the episodes on social medias. All sorts of that. You know the drill. I'm a broken record here. You can also go to wherever you listen to a podcast and leave us a 5-star rating and review. You can also do that on your social medias. Leave us some kind words. If I find them, I will shout them out. And this week's 5-star rating and review comes to us from our friend Faith. If this is on Facebook, you can leave ratings and reviews on Facebook as well. Faith says 5 stars. Hollow Sky is the bomb diggity. Anyone who says otherwise can kick rocks. Heart emoji, metal sign emoji, gray alien emoji. We are the bomb diggity, Faith.
Yeah.
Just so you know. You too are the bomb diggity for leaving us such kind words. And for anybody that doesn't leave us kind words, you can gladly kick rocks, as Faith said. So we appreciate you and being nice to us.
That's the most important.
Yeah.
Be nice to us.
Yeah. Those weirdos have feelings too.
Yeah.
But on that note, another way you can help us out is support our loving, wonderful sponsors, which you are going to hear from now. According to the National Institutes of Health, as many as 30 million men in the United States experience ED. It's more common than a bad night's sleep. The good news is HIMSS makes getting access to treatment simple, so you can feel like yourself again without the stress or awkwardness. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. HIMSS brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that puts your goals first. To get simple online access to personalized, affordable care for ED, hair loss, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/hollow1. That's hims.com/hollow1 for your free online visit. hims.com/hollow1. Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products include compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescriptions required. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information. Hey, Holocult. We're back and excited to announce our continued partnership with ZocDoc. When it comes to your health, please, please leave it to a professional. I don't know about you guys, but my entire social feed has just been filled with different health trends, like red light therapy can solve every skin problem, and you should be slamming olive oil shots first thing in the morning, or coconut oil this, elderberry that. Well, ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. With ZocDoc, you can book in-network appointments with more than 100,000 doctors across every specialty, from mental health to dental health, primary care to urgent care, and more. You can filter doctors who take your insurance, who are located close by, who are a good fit for any medical need you may have, and are highly rated by verified patients. I haven't had to book a doctor's appointment, thankfully. I've been pretty healthy, but I have gotten on the app and kind of messed around with it a little bit, kind of booked mock appointments, and it is super easy. It's a one-stop shop for everything that you need. Find doctors in your area, doctors that take your insurance, doctors that can get you in within 48 hours. It's excellent. Excellent. Stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/hollow1 to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/HOLO1. ZocDoc.com/hollow1. And just like that, we're back. And Kyle's taking the reins. He's going to steer us into some weirdness. And he's circle headbanging. For those of you who are just listening, is circle headbanging us directly into the unknown.
Yes. Yeah, the other day I had to laugh because Steve was having technical difficulties and he just circle headbanged at it. So now anytime I have difficulties in life, I'm just going to circle headbang at it.
It works.
Even if it doesn't, it's fucking hilarious. So it's a win.
Until I'm proven otherwise, I'm circle headbanging at every minor inconvenience that happens in my life.
Dude. Gonna be awesome,
and every positive thing that happens in my life. So
everyone at work's gonna be so lost whenever I'm just circle headbanging out in the middle of nowhere.
I won't. I'll be like, Kyle's got something going on.
Yeah. He's struggling over there. He probably needs some help.
Yeah, he's got something going on.
Yeah. All right, but anyways, we're kind of going back toward the Cold War UFO flap I did learn a bunch of shit when I was writing this episode that I don't think a lot of people do know, and that'll be more toward the end of the episode, but it's interesting.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, but starting out, we're going to touch back down in Michigan at Fort Smith Air Force Base. This base sits near Lake Huron. Once again, this base was a huge part of the SAC Strategic Air Command. It would see its share from other worldly encounters, as well as the other bases. One night at the base, at one of the many gatehouses, one of the sentries, he was just out there hanging out by himself, minding his own business, just another uneventful night, right? And the night starts off slow. Then he's watching the fence as he normally would, and he's listening to the roar of jet engines from the guys kind of just running routine practices and stuff. And as he's sitting there, all of the ambient noises from the forest slowly begin to fade out, which is not a good sign in the world of the paranormal. It's definitely sussy.
Usually means something not so great is on the way.
Right.
Like a predator kind of thing.
Yeah. And it fades all the way out to where there's not a sound at all. And as if that wasn't creepy enough, the dude sees something in the air a few hundred yards away. And he witnesses an unlit craft hovering with extreme precision, almost looking like it's just being suspended in the air. And it's essentially like it's an unlit craft. So it's like a silhouette in the sky. And he's like, man, like what in the fuck is that? Because at first his brain's like, is this like a cloud or something? What is going on? And it's crazy that it even caught his eye because of how far away it was. So it must have just been like he described it as it could have been overlooked, but it caught his attention fast enough. And I don't know that it would be overlooked because of how sharp the lines are that he's describing.
Yeah, I was going to say it's almost like, It's almost unnatural enough that it stands out on its own without having to be lit up, you know?
Exactly.
Because sometimes you see specific angles and stuff in nature and you're like, that doesn't happen very often naturally, you know?
Right. And at the bare minimum, it catches your attention.
Yeah.
You know, your eyes get drawn to it.
Yep.
But as he was saying, the outline is extremely crisp. No markings that he's able to see. No audible engine, no lights. Everything about this is utterly unfamiliar to him. It was stated that it was large and dark, yet it was able to be faintly reflective under the pale glow of the moon. The surface of this craft almost shimmered, kind of like it was cloaked. He noted that the air felt colder and heavier than it was prior to him seeing the craft.
That's weird. So,
yeah. So at this point, he's kind of freaking out. He's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what is that over that way? So he grabs his radio. He calls it in. And he gets that initial message through. But then the radio begins to fill with static. Almost not like something is actively jamming communications at this point. And he said that the static and the distortion or whatever was going on with that radio was unlike anything that he's ever dealt with before, anything that he's ever heard on the radio. So this thing is just sitting there and hovering. Dude thought for a quick second about grabbing his rifle. However, deep down, he's like, it's not going to do anything to this thing. Whatever that is, my rifle's going to do fuck all to it.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to do it. Not even going to attempt it.
It's interesting that it has like an entire atmospheric manipulation thing going on. Cause we hear about that different aspects of it a lot. Like obviously the interfering with electronics, and you hear about the sounds going silent, but the change in the like temperature and, I guess like pressure around where he is something you don't hear a lot about in UFO encounters, but you hear a lot about in like paranormal ghost encounters with the temperature exactly. changing and the feelings changing. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting little crossover there.
It is. And then, you know, you run with that avenue of thinking, and then how many times have we read that those ghostly encounters might not actually be ghosts. They might be extraterrestrial.
Yep.
So it kind of does go hand in hand, even though, like you pointed out, we don't hear a whole lot of that description in regards to UFO encounters.
Yeah. It's usually the opposite. Usually it starts out as a ghost, paranormal kind of poltergeist phenomena that kind of evolves into possibly this is extraterrestrial, not necessarily a lot of poltergeist activity and paranormal ghosty activity in the realm of the UFO world.
Right. So in that moment, after he decides, all right, I'm not going to Rambo it.
Good call.
The craft ends up shooting off into the sky and disappearing. And when it did this, the radio comes back to life and command is freaking the fuck out. They're trying to get a hold of him and figure out what is going on. They want way more details about what he'd seen, what he experienced. And it's kind of sinister in that concept that it's almost like whether it was reading his thoughts or actively listening to his communication and understanding what he was saying. But the fact that they went ahead and he got that initial call out and they're like, nope, we're going to go ahead and jam that.
Yeah.
It's pretty fucked up to consider.
Yeah. You hear weird shit like that in cases, man. Like the police officer that was abducted, somewhere in South America, they found his motorcycle. They found his radio taken apart. They found his sidearm taken apart. And like in theory, they're thinking that the extraterrestrials like mind controlled him to do this. Like
which take is crazy his sidearm that, apart. It's crazy because that means that they actively knew those two components of his attire are threats.
Yep.
Because not only can he harm them with the sidearm, but he could also call for reinforcements with the radio. So they went ahead and neutralized that.
Yep.
And said, nope, and I know they are, you know, assumingly a hyper intelligent race of beings, but it's still crazy to consider. For some reason, I don't really know why, because it should just kind of be an obvious duh, but it's crazy that they have all that figured out.
And the way that they just manipulate, like the way that we experience things, like you hear about the alien amnesia where you don't remember, you know, you hear about the alien apathy where, you know, all this weird stuff is going on and then you're just like, you know what? I'm just going to go to bed. I'm not that worried about it. And now I'm starting to get into cases to where people are seeing crafts and at first they have this initial like concern, this initial fear. And then they talk about like, it gets to a point to where they think the craft notices them back. And then they say it's just like the most calm, peaceful feeling they've ever felt. Like all the fear, all the terror just leaves, and they're just like, okay, this ain't so bad. Let's see what this is about.
It's so wild.
sucks.
It's so wild because it, like, it could be a great thing, but I still feel like it, like, leans heavy towards sinister.
Yeah, because you hear about people that are abducted, you know, when they do their hypno-regression and they're talking about being on the table, being absolutely terrified, and these things being like, there's nothing to be afraid of. You're not going to remember this anyway, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's not a very good reason. No. Like, that's not a justification there.
Not, hey, we're not going to hurt Steve. You. Not, hey, Steve, we're not going to do
better. You're not going to remember this anyways, dude.
Yeah, it's the worst.
We're just going to do the most invasive mind-fucking things to you. Yeah, but it's okay, because you're not going to remember.
No, unless you get hypno-regressed.
Yeah.
Then you're going to remember, and it's going to be awful.
Right. But, so you have the sentry there, the guard, who witnesses the silhouetted craft. Now, that wasn't the only thing that takes place. There was a crew of very seasoned pilots, and they went on a night run, running missions, you know, to keep themselves sharp, to prepare for the possibility of war. And these particular string of missions, they ran them all the time. And essentially all of the guys involved in these missions they ran them so much that they could do the missions in their sleep, essentially. These guys, they knew what the fuck they were doing. So this crew takes off. As it starts out, things are pretty normal. And subtly, things start to happen. Their navigation instruments, which are routinely checked several times a day, they start to go a little bit haywire. Lights along the cockpit start to flash in and out with no reason, no explanation. So the crew decided to cancel the mission and they turned back. But when they went to make that call on the radio, guess what happens? Static takes over the comms. So at this point, all the guys are like, all right, this is fucking weird. But whatever, we're just gonna stay strong, go back to base. We're gonna get all these issues figured out. Tonight's a bust. But as they're flying, the skies up in front of them are perfectly clear. It's a super clear night. They can see everything. And as they're flying, a shadow begins to creep over the craft, their airplane, right? And at first the men are like, what the fuck? You know, what is casting this shadow onto our airplane? Initially, they thought that it was some cloud forming above them. However, this cloud had extremely sharp edges. Then one of the guys looks out the window, and he's kind of freaking out, and he's just motioning for everybody to, like, hey, what the fuck is this? What is right outside our window? And, like, this thing was right next to them. And they're like, all of them are confused at this point because they're like, how the fuck did it get this close to us without us knowing? We didn't see it approaching us or anything. It's almost like it was just here all of a sudden. And the men they heard no engines. There were no radar warnings for them. Nothing. They said it had this, which is a fucking disgusting way to describe this craft. They said it had a predatory calmness to it. It was smooth and sleek, pitch black, and super steady. But the fact that they use predatory calmness is so disturbing. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
So the commander of the unit, I don't know that he knows what's going on, but I think he's worried that they're getting ready to be attacked. So he starts issuing evasive tactics. However, no matter what these guys tried, that craft effortlessly sticks right beside them. And that's essentially all this craft ends up doing. But dude, these guys were trying everything, like barrel rolls, fucking dives, everything that they could do evasively. And this thing was just stuck right to them. Just doop, 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 doop. Just anything they did, man. It mimicked their every movement in the sky that night. And then all of a sudden, they said it just tilted slightly and shot off into the sky, disappearing. And once again, as this thing leaves, the radios come back to life.
Oh, man. Do you think it's like a air superiority flex that it's doing there?
That's the only thing that makes sense.
It's just like testing the maneuvers, like testing what we're capable of, and like, oh hey, yeah, like we can handle this too.
Yeah, I feel like it's an assessment.
Yeah.
You know, to see what's going on. And also, like, in a roundabout way, it almost has to be a form of a flex. Like, oh yeah.
It's almost like it nodded at them as it took off, like, yep, see ya. You know, like,
I hope that's
the tip of the hat as it goes.
I hope that's what they did. They're like, hey, you guys suck. See ya.
I couldn't imagine being an officer, like a superior officer or the one flying the planes. Like, because at first, the first thought that's going to enter your head is that this is some kind of enemy tech.
Yeah.
You know, after a while, you know, that way of thinking is going to shift to
100%.
There's no way any of our enemies have this tech.
Yeah.
You know, and that would be such a, like, the contrast of realizations there. Cause at first you're going to be on high alert, like, oh shit, things are about to pop off. Then you get to a point to where you're like, well, if they wanted to do something, they could have. Instead, they're just mocking us. And like, we're top of the line here. We got top of the line equipment, top of the line operators. And this thing is just playgrounding us out here. You got to start thinking like, this is well out of my pay grade here.
Oh yeah. I feel like my anxiety would be through the roof trying to, like, every evasive tactic that you've been taught, that you've honed, that you've perfected.
It's just laughing at you.
Absolutely worthless.
It's laughing at you.
Absolutely worthless.
Yeah, it sucks.
Now, on the same night all of that took place, we have a parallel to the last episode that I did on these Cold War intrusions. Out on a service road near the base, truck driver just milling around and going down the road, minding his business, making money. When around midnight, he notices a strange glow up ahead. Now, at first glance, he assumes it's headlights kind of poking through the trees. Like, maybe there's a bend in the road up there and he's just seeing headlights poke through the trees. However, he's like, you know, car headlights don't pulse. Whatever's up there is pulsing this like white and bluish light. And it's like, it's illuminating the entire forest up ahead. He's like, so I'm pretty sure that's not a car. Now his inner voice is like, hey dude, turn this motherfucker around and get to burning. You don't need to be going any further.
Listen to the inner voice.
Yeah, but that's not what happens.
He doesn't.
Curiosity takes over. Whether it's curiosity or some type of forced thing, I don't know. But at this point, he's like, all right, whatever. I'm gonna go ahead and just keep going. And the light grows brighter and brighter until, well, it does get to a point where as he's going towards it and it's getting brighter and brighter, he's like, all right, you know what? This is freaking me the fuck out. I'm turning around. I'm out of here. But as soon as he has that thought, his truck stalls out. Boom. Dead in the water. Right? So the entire truck is dead. Dude, no engine, no lights, nothing. He tries and tries to get it started. Won't start. Then, from the trees, these humanoid shapes begin to emerge.
Hell no.
And he's like, they had a very human look to them, but their proportions were wrong. So much so that he even goes and says, they didn't belong here.
Yeah. Uncanny Valley.
Yeah. At this point, his memory kind of blanks out.
That sucks.
He begins to feel like he recalls in that moment of like where his memory kind of starts to flutter. He says he felt like he was falling, but never made impact. The next thing he remembers from that point was kind of just a shattered mess. He remembers this metallic room, cold, with bizarre glowing patterns on the wall. These shadowy figures were all around him. And as you can imagine, he's terrified and he's trying to move, but all of his moves are sluggish. Like he's been drugged almost.
Yeah, like you're trying to fight in a dream. It's like punching through clay, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure that's exactly how he felt. At that point, he wakes up on the edge of the road. However, and this is where, like, for me, beyond everything we just went through, but this would suck. He wakes up on a completely different road, miles from his truck.
That sucks.
Dude. That's without question. You were fucking abducted, big dog.
Yeah, there's not. Yeah. You didn't even walk there, bro.
No. No. He said his body was hurting like he had been carrying a weight for miles. So he started walking at this point because I don't even know if he knows where the fuck he's at this point. So he just starts walking, picks a direction, starts walking. He ends up at a diner and his clothes were damp and his skin was cold to the touch. On top of that, another interesting thing that takes place that night is, and as far as he goes, the cops do end up finding this truck, but they cannot piece together how he ended up where he ended up. The cops can't figure it out. They have no idea how it happened.
Did you say like how much time had passed?
It didn't say how much time had passed.
It's interesting. Cause you do hear like abduction stories where the abductors mess up and put people back in the wrong spots.
Or they like put their clothes on backwards, yes. Inside out.
Because I've read a story where they dropped the person back off in the wrong spot and came back and fixed it. Retook them onto the craft and put them back to where they were supposed to be. Like,
that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine being abducted by an alien?
Just leave me alone.
Dropped out? Yeah. You're dropped off. You're good. And then motherfucker comes back and you're like, oh my God.
Here we go again.
Here we go.
But as I was saying, I kind of got carried away. Something else ends up happening that night that, in my opinion, is really fucking strange. So inside the base, things started to go haywire. And we've talked about how these crafts almost act like a jammer or an EMP of sorts. However, to me, this is, if I read this correctly and understood it correctly, this is fucking bizarre. So the B-52s in the hangar, these things have system checks constantly throughout the day. Make sure everything is in working order. That way, if they get the call, the dudes get in it and they burn and go after their target. The systems inside these B-52s all of a sudden just start failing. Electrical components for navigation and weapons would blink out. Entire circuit boards get fried. However, as the mechanics or whomever are looking at like what is happening to these airplanes, they find almost no visible cause, like something that would have caused these circuits to fry, these circuits to do this, that, and the other. The crew said it was so random, one system would short circuit while others on the same plane would be unaffected, which to the guys inspecting makes no sense for these connected systems. Almost like something, they described it as an invisible hand selectively sabotaging the plane.
I was going to say it was very, very selective was the term that I was going to use. Very, very meticulous about like what aspect they wanted to disable.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, because in my brain, I almost picture like the UFO rolling over top and then being able to pull up like that sci-fi style diagram of the B-52, like a blueprint, and then being like, well, we'll just take this offline, and this offline, and then their plane's fucked.
Yeah. Because you think if it was a generalized EMP attack or something, it would fuck everything. The systems down. Not just like one or two per plane and then two different ones on another plane and something different on another plane, and shit's weird.
It's one of the only times that I've heard something like this.
Yeah.
As far as the capability of the craft.
I'd be curious to know like which systems it disabled. Like, did it disable the ability for them to fly? Did it disable the ability for them to attack? Did it disable the ability for them to like track, you know, like a radar type thing?
Right.
Be interesting to know.
Yeah. It didn't actually specify in that regard. But then you have fighter squadrons that are placed all over the United States at the strategic air bases. These dudes are some of the most hardened pilots. They're always ready to bring the pain to anyone or anything entering our airspace. However, in 1975, the scope of the mission changes. You have the UFOs that were entering the airspace, and these things were essentially creating chaos for these pilots. Nothing had prepared these men for what they were encountering. You know, these dudes thought they knew it all in and out, and then they go up against something like this and it just fucks them.
Yeah.
Their intercept missions were ordered, and each time these men, they go in looking for a fight, wanting to decimate anything brave or stupid enough to enter our airspace. But these craft would materialize right in front of pilots, accelerate faster than any modern aircraft, and turn sharper or just hover in a manner that these guys just couldn't fathom.
Yeah.
You know, and one pilot in particular recalls locking in on a small glowing object only to have his radar start to go crazy. Another told of how the afterburners on his jet strained as it tried to keep pace with the object. This thing was flying side by side to him, just playing with him. And as he's pushing his plane to its absolute limits, and this thing just goes zip, shoots off and disappears. Like he's standing still.
Yeah, that would be, I don't know how would you respond when you were part of the most advanced military in the world, and you're looking at crafts that are outmaneuvering you, out-teching you. So you have to assume that they're also going to be outgunning you.
Yeah. Yeah. Naturally.
It just takes the win. Like at some point you're gonna be like, what the fuck am I doing here?
That's what I was going to say. It's got to crush their egos.
Yeah.
So what happens? The military's like, all right, bet. So on their intercept missions, apparently they would just send one jet for intercept missions. Well, the military's like, all right, we're going to start sending two. That way you guys can work together. You know, teamwork makes the dream work, baby. We're going to
get them,
run them traps and put them down. And even as a team, they couldn't do shit. They would be chasing this thing, and all of a sudden, it would just appear right behind them. So both of them are just hammering down on this thing, and all of a sudden, it just goes bloop right behind them. Pilots at the time would report clear radar locks on these craft. It would light up with an approaching craft, only for the craft to disappear on radar. Just boop, gone. See you later. Thinking it would be something with the atmosphere or a glitch, they would call into ground control, who would confirm the exact same thing the pilot witnessed. It was also reported all over that communications were blocked during these dogfights, which, if you were a single dispatch fighter ready for war up there, think about how disheartening that is. So now not only are you by yourself up there, but you're going up against something that's superior to you, then your only tie to sanity is now severed. And it's literally just you and that thing up in the sky.
Yeah.
That's it. Dude, that was, like, I don't care who you are. That would be terrifying.
Oh yeah. It's almost like it's like emotional warfare is what it is.
Yeah.
Like you are alienating that pilot to where it's just him. Like, it is just him. And that takes the wind out of a lot of guys' sails real, real fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially when you've been trained.
Just want to Independence Day it and just drive my jet right into that thing.
Yeah.
And it probably wouldn't even do anything.
Especially when you've been trained to rely on people back at the Air Force base to keep you in communication. They are your eyes and your ears. What's beyond that windscreen, you know?
Yeah.
And once that's cut off, like, you only know what's directly in front of you. You ain't got nothing else.
It would be terrifying.
And the thing that's directly in front of you is teleporting behind you and mocking your maneuvers and disappearing and reappearing. And yeah.
Dude, it would be
some fear-based tactics there.
Now, with all the things that are currently happening on these bases, something I did not know. The military and government kind of do what the military and government do. And apparently it gets, I don't know if it gets brought up or if it gets leaked around. I'm assuming it's brought up. Now, all of this that's going on starts being compared to a case that happened 20 years prior to these encounters. So you're talking in the 50s.
50s, 60s, yeah.
Yeah. And it's the Kinross mystery. Now, on November 23rd, 1953, an F-89 Scorpion jet was scrambled to intercept an unidentified object over Lake Superior. Ground control was watching as the Scorpion screams off toward its target. And it's definitely on a beeline path to intercept its target. The two blips on the radar finally converge. Intercept is successful, and one object remains.
It wasn't that successful, was it?
No. Only it was the unidentified craft that was left standing. The Scorpion crew was never seen or heard from again. They have no idea where the craft or crew went.
Didn't find any wreckage.
Nothing.
Sucks.
Nothing.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
So this whole time I've been preaching that they're hostile. I've been right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Told you.
And imagine now everything that we've covered in the past two episodes of this, imagine how those pilots feel finding out this information. They knew 20 years prior that you were 100%, like, they just made a fucking jet and crew disappear.
Yeah.
We don't even know what happened. We don't know if they shot it down. We don't know if they put it off into fucking Never Never Land. We have no idea where that thing went. I would be livid.
Yeah, you feel real disposable at that point.
Oh, 100%.
Real disposable.
100%. So now people are wondering if the same beings that operated in 1953 were the same ones that are here in 1975. You know, the questions start being asked. Had they just been lingering around waiting for another chance, or had they come from somewhere else again? Some people began to wonder if that incident was simply overlooked and what could have, you know, what could have been learned from that incident. I would venture to say that it wasn't overlooked.
No.
It was more or less just wiped under the rug. And this is after 47, you know, which is the most notorious UFO year known. But the military is just not going to shrug off an aircraft in our airspace and it just straight disappears one of ours. Yeah. I don't think that's how that plays out.
No, that was purposely kept under wraps, because you're going to take the wind out of a lot of guys' sails when you're like, look, we don't know what these things are. We do know that the craft are better than ours. We do know that the pilots are better than ours. Yeah. We also do know that they can just make you completely disappear without a trace, no wreckage, no interaction, and we won't know what happens to you, but we're going to need you to go up there and check it out.
Exactly. Exactly. That's pretty much what I have wrote down, almost to a T. You know, you would keep this story buried for two reasons. You're not going to want general population to find out about it, because they're going to freak the fuck out. And then you're also not going to want military personnel to find out, because they're the ones that have to run off into battle and come back victorious. And those poor fucks didn't even get to come back.
No. I'd be like, hey, Kyle, we have got an armor-plated grizzly bear with chainsaws for hands. It's already taken out six other battalions. We're going to need you to go up there and check it out.
Okay? I'm like, no, I'm good. You know what? Here's what I can do. You go ahead and give me the launch codes for the big one.
Yeah.
I'll send that bitch.
We'll take care of the threat. just fly up there and see about
it. No.
Fly up there and check it out, bud.
Motherfucker, you're going to be flying with me.
I would.
And then we're just going to drive it straight into the ground.
Yeah. They can't abduct, but they can't catch.
Oh, man, that makes me think. This is a way side note, but totally makes me think of, I almost sent you the fucking clip, and now I should have, because there was a Battlefield clip where I saw a new guy trying to fly a jet, and he was upside down on the ground, shooting across the ground, and runs into a building. That would be us flying a jet.
Yes, I saw one that was the helicopter. It's like when you get in the Battlefield helicopter and you remember you don't know how to fly the Battlefield helicopter. It's just slamming into buildings and shit. That would be us.
Oh, 100%.
The aliens would be like, you know what? We don't even have to, like, show off our maneuvers, because they're showing off their maneuvers and we are safe here.
Yeah. We're just going to hang out.
Yeah, we're good. There is no immediate threat on this planet.
All right. So if all of that isn't strange enough, I found another intercept mission that gets launched in 1975. The pilot does return. However, it was different than the other intercept missions. This pilot, he was like the dude. He's Tom Cruise, essentially, from Top Gun, right? This dude was confident. He was disciplined, extremely sharp. When he comes back from this mission, he's a broken shell of who he was.
That's not a good sign.
No, this dude wouldn't even fucking look at people anymore when talking. Not to mention, he would only speak short, vague sentences. This guy would flinch at the most mundane sounds. And his sister ends up noticing all of this right away. You know, and one night she starts asking him about the mission. And I guess he, because it's his sister, he starts recalling what happens. And he's like, you know, I recall taking off, headed to intercept. However, after reaching altitude, I don't remember anything. It was all blur. He doesn't remember chasing the object or how the mission even concluded. The only thing he remembers is that when he landed, the world seemed unreal to him. Later, he would be transferred to a quiet spot in the military, and his sister actually ends up becoming his voice, essentially telling his story to UFO investigators. Not to mention, you have the civilian side, you know, to all this too, but not just in immediate locations of the bases all over the world. During this little flap, you have pieces like it, I don't know, it's just like it did heavily focus on the bases, but it also branched out across the entire planet. I found there was it's called Charlie Red Star. It was an object that was seen all over Canada. People would describe it being dull and light, sometimes as bright as neon. They talked about the speeds it would travel, making no sound and sometimes cloaking itself or disappearing right before their eyes. But it became a community thing too, actually. People would go out in the night looking for this object because it would show up consistently night after night after night.
That's weird.
Yeah. Then you have the experiences people had on the M6 motorway in the United Kingdom. And this actually reminds me a lot of the Miami Mall incident. People report sightings of humanoid figures in wooded or rural areas of the motorway. People would describe glowing human-like forms. Sometimes they were seen stepping onto the road only to disappear. People also began to report, this is fucked. People also began to report abandoned cars along the highway too. People would stop to investigate and find the cars completely empty. No damage to the vehicle and no reason as to why the person driving it would just abandon it in the first place.
That's crazy.
It's nuts.
Were there missing people in the area?
I don't know. It didn't specify, but I did. People also reported missing time during this stretch as well, saying that the clocks on their cars weren't matching the actual time.
So people, essentially, like, my brain went like, these people just disappeared, but these people could be stumbling upon people's cars who are actively being abducted at the time.
I think that's what happened.
That's so bizarre.
Even the fucking Amazon had reports coming in during this time. People describing glowing orbs hovering over homes and following vehicles. Reports came in large numbers of people being woken up in the middle of the night by bright lights. Others talking about how they lost hours of time, waking up disoriented miles away from where they were last seen. Some people recall seeing beings with almond-shaped eyes and metallic clothing, while others don't remember shit other than a bright light.
It's so weird.
Dude. One farmer sees a bright light fall into his field, and then he isn't seen for 2 days. When they found him, he was walking the riverbanks miles from his property, pale and dehydrated, with no idea how he ended up where he did. After a few days, he recalls some of the event where these beings take him on a craft, and he's like, they had elongated faces and communicated with me telepathically. issuing cryptic warnings about humanity's neglect of Earth and its ecosystems, which we've heard in many abduction cases.
That's the one of the biggest tropes.
Yeah. And then you have a sighting reported in 1973 in a CIA intelligence document concerning an experimental Soviet missile test range in what is now Kazakhstan. The object was observed in the summer of 1973 at Site 7, part of the Sarey-Shagan weapons testing range. The observer, a Soviet source, saw a bright green circular object or mass in the sky, which is kind of like what you saw the other day. Over 10 to 15 seconds, the green circle widened, then multiple concentric green circles form around it. Within minutes of that happening, it disappears. There were no sound, no explosion, and the sky was just clear. The witness estimated it hovered above cloud level, though diameter and altitude were not determined precisely. And, you know, Site 7 was a weapons testing range, because I tried finding UFO reports over Soviet bases during this time, during the Cold War. Because we do always hear about that flap of UFOs that come in to nuclear silos, unarm them, arm them, the whole nine. So I'm kind of trying to, at this time, I'm trying to dig around and find those stories.
Yeah.
What else we got? You know, there were claims, but it does seem that a lot of the Soviet encounters happen in the 80s, not the 70s. So by then, I believe in the 80s, Cold War's done.
It went on for a little bit.
Did it?
Yeah. Let me double check my timeline here. You may have heard of HelloFresh. They're the number one meal kit in America, making home cooking easier with chef-crafted recipes and fresh ingredients delivered straight to your door. But this fall, they're serving up even more to love. This isn't the HelloFresh you remember. It's bigger. HelloFresh has doubled its menu. Now you can choose from 100 options each week, including new seasonal dishes and recipes from around the world. Dig into bigger portions that'll keep everyone satisfied. I use HelloFresh, and I feel like the rest of the Hollow Cult should too. This week, I had the saucy smothered enchilada bake, and it was wonderful. The tortillas were packed with spiced ground pork and sautéed bell peppers, all covered in a zesty tomato sauce and melted Mexican cheese. Came out of the oven perfect, bubbly, delicious, and the lime crema and pico de gallo on top pulled everything together. It was awesome. The best way to cook just got better. Go to HelloFresh.com/HOLO1POD10FM now to get 10 free meals plus a free breakfast for life. One per box with active subscription. Free meals applied as discount on first box. New subscribers only. Varies by plan. That's HelloFresh.com/HOLO1POD10FM to get 10 free meals and free breakfast for life. Hey, HoloCult. Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges. From sleepless nights to stress-filled days, Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends. They'll deliver them discreetly to your front doorstep. And you can get them 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code HOLO. Having trouble sleeping? They've got a gummy for that. Sleepy Time gummies knock you out in about 15 minutes. They leave you feeling refreshed, and they don't leave you with a feeling of grogginess or hangover. Having just one of those days where just everybody sucks and everything is going wrong, you just need to reset your mood and your day as a whole. They've got gummy for that too. Epic Euphoria gummies. Just reset your mood and turn your frown upside down. What makes these different is how they paired THC with other cannabinoids, with herbs and adaptogens. You're just not going to find gummies like this in a dispensary or anywhere for that matter. And they have gummies for literally everything. Immune support, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, sexual arousal. And each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS, and they can ship to most states in the U.S. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, HoloCult listeners get 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head to Mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use promo code HOLO at checkout to save 20% on your first order. Cold War essentially went from 72 to 91.
Oh, okay, so I guess it does count as the Cold War then.
Yeah. Our, what is this, time period around 1985 to 1991 marked the final period of the Cold War. So yeah, 72 to 91 essentially. And it makes, like, it does make you wonder if these things, if the uptick in these things do have to do with the geopolitical climate, you know?
It could be.
Because, like, it's pretty crazy out in the world right now. And look at all the drone flaps and orbs and all this shit. Like it seems.
I don't know. Maybe they show up when we're on the brink of destroying ourselves.
And they're like, "Hey, there's bigger fish to fry here. You don't need to be blowing yourselves up."
Yeah, but with that green sphere encounter, the CIA classify it under atmospheric optical phenomenon or phenomena of unknown origin.
So swamp gas.
Pretty much.
I'll tell you, man, like the thing that I saw in Georgia was weird.
It sounds similar to what the Soviets saw.
And the way it made me feel was weird. Like, cause you talk about like it manipulating the way we think and like alien apathy and all this shit. Like when I saw it, I couldn't take my eyes off of it. Like it had me locked in. Like I didn't think to get my phone. I didn't think to do anything but look directly at that thing. And like I could not take my eyes away from it until finally, after probably, it was a while, 30 seconds, maybe a minute. Like I went to Mel. I'm like, come here and see if you, like, do you see this? And when she came over, as soon as like, cause I kind of pointed her in the direction that I was seeing it. As soon as she locked eyes with it, it knew. And it just goes. Shroomp.
That's so weird.
And it's also weird that like I saw a glowing orb and like you saw a glowing orb during your stuff. Remember, like you said, it looked like the orange campfire.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Shit's weird.
It sucks. And during that encounter with mine, I just went back to bed.
Yeah, essentially after it went out, I was like, okay, that was it. That's that.
It's weird, man. It's weird. You know, it's not something, because like if somebody was telling us that, we would be like, well, you should have got your phone out. You should have took a picture of it. You should have done this. You should have done that.
Didn't even cross my fucking mind because I was just, I don't know if it's because I was worried if I took my eyes off of it, it would disappear, or if it just had me so locked in. Like I was just like mesmerized. Like I was mystified at what I was seeing. Like it's weird. Weird that it has that like almost emotional effect as it's going on. Emotion might not be the right term, but like it's kind of like that.
And during the green circle incident there, Soviet radar operators and technicians report that the radars arrays temporarily malfunctioned during the appearance of the green circle. years later, declassified Russian language reports and UFO researchers claim villagers saw a glowing emerald halo in the sky that opened like a flower and contracted into a single point of light. But CIA says high altitude plasma discharge, possible energy emission from a non-conventional origin.
What the fuck does that even mean?
I have no fucking clue.
High altitude plasma discharge from what? What discharge?
One of the claims was weapon or propulsion test. So, which just makes you wonder, like, if that's on the table in the fucking 70s there, what the, like, it just makes me feel like I don't know anything.
Yeah. Like, you got atmospheric plasma weapons that we don't know about?
I mean, I guess. That's kind of what it makes it sound like, right?
Yeah. And what was the other thing they said after that, after the plasma weapon?
A possible energy emission from non-conventional origin, whatever that means.
Yeah, what does non-conventional origin? That's like non-human intelligence.
And it says, side notes in the document, hint, it was discussed alongside unidentified atmospheric vehicles.
They're just changing the name of UFOs.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it is.
It's pissing me off.
Soviet scientists actually had a few accounts on it. There were several researchers who later defected or gave interviews claiming the USSR tracked plasma-type craft over strategic sites, often before or after nuclear tests. Plasma. They described these as intelligent luminous forms appearing when nuclear tech was being tested.
Which is interesting because you do hear of plasmoid UFOs.
Yeah.
And or possibly plasma-like creatures that live in the atmosphere. But also, like, the last little bit of military footage that came out with the Reaper drone firing the missile at an orb that kind of just absorbed it, like plasmaed it and kind of burst into two or three little other bubbles that kind of just followed itself at very plasma-like in consistency.
Good call. And it seems like weird. From 77 to 82 was around the time the Soviet nuclear missile fields start seeing increased UFO activity. Several accounts by Russian researchers describe strange aerial objects over missiles, storage facilities, and strategic rockets. Units near Kapustin Yar. There was a famous incident happened in 82 at a nuclear missile base in Ukraine. Multiple witnesses, including military officers, claimed a large glowing disc hovered over a missile site for 15 minutes. Launch codes allegedly went active briefly as if the missiles were preparing to fire, then returned to normal after the object left.
It's such a flex.
Oh, dude. That's probably the biggest flex you could have.
Yeah, we can end you without ever firing a bullet. We can end you with your own munitions, which is terrifying.
And the problem with the fucking Soviets is that they've essentially kept all of their files on this under lock and key. Yeah. They don't let, like, some of it has leaked, but most of it is under lock and key. Because it says during the late Cold War, the Soviet Ministry of Defense and the KGB created official programs like Setka-Mo and Setka-An to catalog UFO reports from military units. And that's when you start to see structured collection of data from nuclear and strategic sites. But almost all of it stayed classified.
Because you almost have to, based on size alone, you almost have to assume that not only has the United States recovered craft and back engineered technology, you have to assume that China's probably recovered craft and tried to back engineer technology. And you have to assume that Russia and the Soviet Union, just out of sheer size, if one of these crafts were to go down, like those three big ass countries, you know, like.
And arguably it's the three superpowers of the planet,
which they're going to have the most interest in.
Yep.
You could probably add and the
most, in there. The most capable of doing it too.
Yeah. It's so weird. Now I want to look into the Ken Ross case, like a deep dive into that. Cause I think I've heard it before, but never enough to where I looked into it. Just that an Air Force craft went to intercept a UFO and it was disappeared. Like that's the crux.
Yeah.
And also that M6 highway stuff is fucking weird.
Weird, right? That one reminds me so much of the Miami Mall incident.
Yeah.
With the humanoid beings that were reported yet completely covered up.
Yeah, like, no, you didn't see that.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. You didn't see that.
But it is strange. And it also makes sense why, like, if it is true that the nuclear codes got activated and deactivated, it makes sense that we only hear rumblings of it because the Soviets have it classified.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we're not letting any of this out.
No, because they don't want to seem like they're so easily infiltrated. It makes you look, as a superpower, it makes you look stupid. It makes you look weak. It makes you look vulnerable. And that's not something you want out there, especially at a time like during the Cold War, whenever, you know, you're butting heads with the other big bomb thrower and you've got, you know, ET coming in, accessing your codes, just all willy nilly.
Yeah. I'm sure at first they might not even have assumed it was ET. They might have assumed it was the Americans coming over.
Oh yeah.
And fucking with everything.
God, could you imagine? Could you imagine that? Being on base and those launch codes take off.
Oh, I'd be terrified.
Like, oh shit. Reset the router. Bad. Reset the router.
Yeah. Unplug everything.
Yeah.
It'd be terrifying.
Because you know that's once one of those goes off,
game over.
Mutually assured destruction.
Oh yeah. Especially if it's aimed at another country.
Yeah.
It's in that's all she wrote. It's
bad news.
All she wrote.
For all players involved.
Yeah. It'd be a bad day.
Definitely gave me some deep dives I want to get into though, man.
It's a cool topic. Like I said, it's the nuclear codes is kind of what drew me to it, because it's just something you always hear in the rumblings of the UFO world.
Yeah.
Always hear about it.
Yeah, you'll have to text me like if you've got the dates of the Ken Ross incident so I can look it up and the M6 stuff. And I'll go through my humanoid entity books because they go by decade and I'll look into them because they have a lot of encounters that are not American, which is awesome. Like
that's kind of cool.
When I was looking up stuff for the Ouija board incident, like there's so many Russian entity encounters for whatever decade I was looking in.
That's crazy.
90s or whatever. Yeah, tons. Well more than Americans.
It's crazy.
Cause I think we live in this like bubble, like all in our brains, like the paranormal shit happens here because it's easily to access for us. Like if we want to go to a haunted house, we're going to go to one like in America. If we want to go to some famous UFO site incident, we're going to one that's in America, you know? And just to like kind of expand that and see that there's so much other weird shit going on that we're not even like privy to.
Yeah.
Like it opens the door to all kinds of shit.
Yeah. Yeah. The world's fucking huge
and creepy.
Yeah. But it's cool.
Yeah.
Kind of how we roll.
That's good. I like when you bring shit that I don't know a lot about, because then it just kind of plants little seeds in my brain.
Yeah, and like I said, it, you know, by us doing this homework, it, like if we get into interviews and stuff, it opens our pool of knowledge vastly. Makes us a little better equipped to understand things, I think.
Makes us cooler.
That too, which is the important thing.
Paranormal knowledge is cool knowledge.
Yeah.
Don't waste your time on chemistry and geometry. Mm-hmm. Paranormal knowledge. Esoteric
that's
knowledge.
That's where it's at.
Occult knowledge. That's what gets you places in life, kids.
This is true.
Oh, but on that note, we'll wrap her up there. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for listening to the UFO military weirdness. Again, if any of our listeners are military, ex-military, that have had weird stuff happen in the skies and have not signed an NDA, if you have signed an NDA, you know, we'll deal with that afterwards. We'll deal with that later. Get at us. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. But again, thanks for hanging out with us. We appreciate you all. And, you know, tune in next week. Just keep going. Share this episode when it drops. Do us a favor. You won't regret it. Check us out on all our socials. You know the drill. Until we meet again, stay safe, stay weird. And if you are a military pilot and you're flying in the sky, you see a UFO, don't try to outmaneuver it. Don't try that. You're just going to feel bad about yourself.